following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
I think we're going to go right to our guests, okay? And then we'll sing at the end. All right, Matt, come on up. Matt's right there. Come on up. Matt Watson is from right here at Refuge, and he is leaving for Uganda on the 31st of this month. And he's going to tell you, here's what they're all going to do. They might all do this in different segments, but he's going to tell you what he's going to be doing there, and then he's going to share a little bit out of the Word with you, and this is our first test run, okay? So I'm going to start the 10-minute countdown timer. By the way, it's countdown timer, so when you see that, you just know how much time you have left.
Okay, well, some of you might have seen a video a couple weeks ago with me and my wife. I was working that night, so I couldn't make it. Wow, that is pretty bright, actually. We were talking about in the back. I've spent maybe 3 or 4 years here. We were trying to figure out how long I've attended this church, and it's been such a blessing. And to now consider going out, at least for the first time, hopefully many more, by this church is just an awesome honor. I'd just like to share a little bit of what the Lord's been showing me just recently. I just actually shared this with a group of young kids as well, and I'm always just constantly reminded by this. My favorite chapter in the entire Bible, it's Philippians chapter 2, starting verse 14. It says, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. But even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. You too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me." The Lord's just recently, from teaching this, really brought that back to mind of something that he did 5-6 years ago in my heart when I was in Bible college, just my desire to pour out my life as a drink offering, and just recently brought this passage back to mind. And then one more verse that I've been reading a lot lately. Paul wrote that. He was in prison. He had hopes to go to Spain, as we see in Acts, but he wasn't too sure. He said in the previous chapter in Philippians chapter 1, you know, to live is Christ, to die is gain. If I go on in the flesh, it's good, obviously. But to go and be with Christ is better. I'm paraphrasing. And then you find out that he didn't make it to Spain. And you read this in his last letter, most likely 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all those who love his appearing." So I'll be leaving for Uganda for a 2-week trip with Intensive Care Ministries. It's run by a man named Dan Frinfrock. We're going to Uganda. I'll be going with a man by the name of Troy. He's kind of the right-hand man for Dan. Has also spent, I think, 7 years as a missionary full-time in Tanzania, which, if you don't know the geography, is just a little bit south and to the west of Uganda. And he's actually leaving, I think, in a couple days to go to Tanzania, and I'll catch up with him on the second leg of his trip. Troy's one of those guys that has that wicked laugh where you know that something's going to go wrong, and he's just going to, like, take it as it comes, and he's going to kind of leave me wandering around. He just kind of has that way about him, so be praying for me. It's going to be interesting, but I just plan on everything changing as soon as I get to the airport, that everything's going to go a different way than I expected. But I'm excited no matter what. It's going to be a great trip. We'll be going in. I'll leave on the 31st of this month, and I'll get there. I'll probably touch down on almost the 2nd. So it's going to be, I think it's like it's about a 30-hour flight or so. And so, yeah, it'll be a good time of being in the Word. as I'm getting there. I've already seen the plans change once. I was just supposed to be observing. This was a mentor of mine in school. I was telling him about my desire to do this ministry, and I didn't know he was actually on the board of the ministry. And so that's kind of how I got affiliated and kind of come alongside them and just to see if this is what the Lord has. And so I was sharing with him my desire to do that. And the Lord just kind of really opened up all the doors to do it. I was originally going to just kind of be observing, just watching how things were done. The plan was for Troy to teach. They teach all the aspects of inductive Bible study. So what he'll do is we'll sit down with pastors and different pastors of different denominations in Africa or wherever they're at this time. They'll teach them, obviously, how to do the inductive method. So how to do observation, interpretation, application, things like that. That's the first part. That's the main premise of the whole trip, is to teach them that. But then mostly, especially in the areas that we're going to, the pastors will never in their entire life more than likely have enough money or the ability to buy a commentary in their language. And so because of that, they also, what we'll be doing is Troy will also be taking him through a New Testament introduction of all the backgrounds of all the New Testament books. So starting with Matthew, all the way through the Gospels, all the way through the letters, and finishing with Revelation, he's going to give them a good brief background in their notes of every book so that they can go out and do exactly what they've learned to do. They're going to go through and be able to teach their congregation through the New Testament with the backgrounds as well. So they'll know what's going on. Context is huge, especially in the inductive method. And so that's what Troy was going to be doing, and he still is. The native pastor there, as they would say, or the African pastor there, he was the one that was going to be teaching them kind of how to do it. So he was going to teach them the book of Romans. They were going to go through the book of Romans with him. And due to circumstances, he's unable to make it. And so my schedule has already changed quite a bit because instead of just going and observing, that is now on my plate. So just keep me in prayer. I've done it, but that kind of stuff before, but I've never done it in front of Troy, first of all, who's taught inductive for years. So that's nerve-wracking enough. And his smile that just is always cracking me up and making me think I'm doing something wrong already. On top of all of that, to do it in 10 days is going to be quite a time. So just keep me in prayer in that. And last, I just kind of wanted to share with you guys something. I've just been at the missions conference with, I think, most of the others, if not all the others, that you're going to hear today. There's something the Lord really spoke to me personally. It was during sometime in the worship yesterday. And I don't even remember what service it was. I don't remember much about it. And I just took it out and wrote it down on my phone. That tends to be how it is. If Shannon or Jeremy ever sees me on my phone during worship, it's only because I'm writing something down. It's not like you guys aren't awesome, and it's not like I'm not in the presence of the Holy Spirit or anything. Just to point that out, I promise I'm writing down something the Lord's speaking to me. And this was something that he gave to me personally and has really ignited a passion in me just to go wherever and to be willing to do whatever it is that he would have us do. This tends to be how the Lord speaks to me, is just these little thoughts that come to mind, and I kind of mull over them for a couple weeks usually before I share them with anybody or use them in anything. But this is what I wrote. Some may be more talented, some may be smarter, but God help me if he finds one more willing. And that to sum up is where I'm at in my life just recently. I just kind of put aside pursuit of a career, of money, basically, of comfort. I mean, I never planned to buy a house or anything like that here. And then just recently kind of got caught up in that and just really wanted to pursue comfort. And it was actually my wife, as if you guys watched the video would know, she was actually the first one out of the two of us that it really kind of hit home with her. And she's like, we're not doing what God had called us to do. Back when we had met, our desire had been to just be willing to do whatever the Lord would call us to do. And so my desire now, or at least what the Lord's working and cultivating in me right now, is to do that. It's to live as Christ and to die as gain. It's to be willing to do whatever. If it's, I mean, Uganda sounds scary, but it's not as scary as other places. I want the Lord to bring me to a place where I'm just willing to do whatever. You know, he can take care of the rest. If he sends me, I'll go. And so that's kind of my response right now going to Uganda, is just being completely willing to just go wherever it is that he would send me. And so, yeah, that's about it.
broke it?
Yeah, I don't know what I did to it. I need Jesse's help to fix this. I don't know what I did. I messed something up. Where's Jesse? This will make no sense, and they'll go way too long. That was great. Thank you so much. What was that last thing you said about that the Lord gave you? Others may be more gifted.
Others may be more talented. Some may be smarter, but God help me if he finds one more willing.
God help me if he finds someone more willing. Wow. I want you to write that down. Send that to me, okay? Oh, okay, good. Thank you. All right. Next, tonight, we're going to pray for all these guys at the end. We're going to spread them out throughout the sanctuary and pray for them all together, and you're going to get to gather around them. But the next up is Rick and Cindy. Where are you, Rick and Cindy? Come on up here. They are serving Jesus with a church in Northern Ireland, Harvest, which is a Calvary Chapel in Northern Ireland, in the town of Ballymena. So there you go.
Ballymena, hey. They say there was an advertisement that came out several years ago before we got there, advertising a new mall, and the billboard said, "There's shopping in Ballymena, hey," because locally they add "hey" to everything. You know, like in Canadians, if you hear a Canadian, they might say "eh," you know, in Ballymena they say "hey," so that's where that goes. You know, and that's all part of it. You know, is it Chad? Matt. You know, Matt said he's been here 3 or 4 years. And that's why we don't know him. Because 4.5 years ago, you guys sent us out. We were with Refuge a long time, and the Lord gave us a call and have sent us to Northern Ireland. We have the map. There we go. That's great. Now, you see, highlighted there, you see the United Kingdom. The United Kingdom is officially called the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland is part of the UK. The rest of the island that we think of as Ireland is a separate country. I don't know how many people knew that there were two countries in Ireland. 2 or 3 hands go up. That's about it. That's about it, because Ireland is divided. And that division is what's caused all of the problems that you've heard in years past. There are several people, there's a group that wants to see all of Ireland one country, all under the Republic of Ireland. Republicans are something very different over there. And those are people that want that. They figure the best way to do that is to shoot people and lay bombs. You know, that'll really convince the people that unity should happen. And that's been the problems in years past. But it's fairly calm now. It's pretty safe. We'll probably have more danger from drivers on the road than we do from anybody wanting to blow us up with a bomb or anything like you've heard in the past. But we live in Northern Ireland. I don't know if you can see where Belfast is there, and about where the E of Northern Ireland is where our town of Ballymena is. And the Lord gave us a clear, pure call to go to Ballymena, to go to Northern Ireland. He made it obvious what his will was, and we're glad for that, because it hasn't always been an easy road. There's been opposition to us being there and difficulties. The enemy doesn't like us, any of us, doing what God has called us to do. But we're there, and we're there doing the Lord's work. You know, what is the Lord's work? Well, that's what I would like to share a little bit from the Word today. In 2 Corinthians, as they would say over there, in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and in the 20th verse, it says this. It says, "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Northern Ireland, and Ballymena in particular, is very religious. Ballymena is known to this day as the Bible Belt of Ireland. 150 years ago, there was a major revival, and the effects of that revival are still there in the society, in the culture today. It's a very Christian culture. Christians are appreciated, they're accepted, they're honored. Ministers are held up in high pedestals. Ministers' wives are treated with great respect. And is Cindy surprised? A story I'd love to tell, I don't have time, of her treating another woman that turned out to be minister's wife like normal, and shocking the people that were around her, but delighting the woman. As missionaries, as being sent out, it's costly. There are costs. We had to count the costs, and we were willing to make them. And there's can be summed up what we face with three F's. And that is, it's been a sacrifice of family. As many of you have prayed with us in years past for our son, know the struggles that we've had with our son, and still exists this way. The Lord is doing a work in him, but we still appreciate your prayers. He lives right here in Orange County, the next town over, but that's 6,000 miles away from where we're living now, and that separation from our son and from the family is quite a sacrifice, and there's nothing that can replace family. The second F is really where you come in, and that is friends. It's been a sacrifice of leaving and losing our friends. And the folks at Refuge are our, and have been, our closest friends. We have good friends there, but there's nothing quite like the friendship and the fellowship that we had here at Refuge. And I wouldn't dare let Cindy talk about this, because she'd do the girl thing and start crying because, you know, it touched her heart. But like I said, that's where you come in. You have our emails on our newsletters, able to get contact, and when we have contacts from our friends here at Refuge, it means a lot. It means a lot because of the third F, and that is a sacrifice of familiarity. You would think going to Ireland, you know, at least they speak English. We found out, sort of. The society would be really similar to American society, and we wouldn't think there'd be much of a cultural difference at all, and we were shocked at the cultural difference there is between America and Britain. Amazing. In our newsletters, we have a thing where we have words. U.S. words and U.K. words. The same word has a totally different meaning in there as it does from here. For instance, I am wearing trousers. I'm also wearing pants. But you don't talk about that, because that's my underwear. So if I talk about, oh, I you know, you like my pants, it'd be shocking and embarrassing because of the difference that the words mean. So many things like that. But it's all worthwhile because we love those people. We're with God has called us, and we are so blessed and pleased to be there. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your support. Most important support is your prayers. We live and we relish for the prayers that the Lord keeps us, and the financial support and the communication in that. We just thank you so much for all you do as our friends. God bless you.
Yeah. I like your trousers. All right, who do I have next here? Robin and Allison Turner. I met these guys in Austria several years ago, and they run, how many of you know what the castle is in Austria? How many of you have heard the castle in Austria? And they run that, which is also a retreat center. You're more busy all the time with retreats and conferences, aren't you? So whenever I go over, either for a speaker's week, well, it used to be speaker's week, or the missions conference or something, these are the hosts, and they do an amazing job there. So welcome them again. You already clapped, but I appreciate you guys so much.
Okay, well, good evening. As you can hear, my voice, my accent is not local to this area. It's actually nearer to Ballymena than America. So I really don't understand the problems that Rick and Cindy are having. You understand that I speak English. I'm not quite sure what you guys speak, but no. I also want to make clear, my name's Robin, and this is Allison. Somewhere in America, they got mixed up and started calling girls Robin. I don't understand that either. Anyhow, we've had the privilege of working in Austria for the last 14 years. We had a nice home in England. We had a nice steady job, had a pretty clear future and a retirement plan. And we got to sit down one day and say, what are we investing in here? You know, we're fully involved in the church. We're doing things, outreaching into our community, but what are we actually investing in? And we started to consider maybe we're investing too much in the retirement plan, and maybe God had different plans. And we did a dangerous thing. We started to pray, Lord, what do you want us to do? And I can highly recommend not praying that. You know? Anyway, we found ourselves following the footsteps of some good friends of ours and moving out to the Bible College in Austria, as it was then, in 2000. To help with the administration and some of the teaching. And that started us on a journey, which took us to Hungary, relocating a Bible college across a border into an ex-communist country. And then 2004, we were asked to temporarily go back to the castle to sort some things out. That was 2004. We're still there. What we do is we host groups from across Europe to come and take a week or a two-week retreat. Some of those groups are missionary groups. You heard of people like Campus Crusade for Christ, the Navigators, YWAM. Also the churches around Europe, some of the Calvary chapels that have been planted in Hungary, in Italy, in France, in Germany. They have come and taken their retreat at the castle. I'm not going to show you any pictures of the castle, because I want you to consider we're missionaries, we're suffering for Christ. It's just coincidental that we live in a castle on a lake in the Alps. And, you know, somebody has to suffer. And I'm sure Matt will find that out. But somebody has to enjoy God's blessings too. It's really not all that easy, as I'm sure you'd understand. I wanted to share some scriptures with you. Kind of our running theme for this year has been from Galatians. That's Galatians chapter 6, if you'd like to turn there and have a look at verses 9 and 10. I should have warned Bill, actually, that I have my long-sighted glasses on here. I can neither read my Bible nor that red fuzzy thing that he's holding on his lap. So, yeah. 25 minutes? Great. Paul's writing here and he says, let us not be weary of well-doing, for in due course we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Now, this is a verse that's close to us. You know, we love to have fellow believers come and enjoy the environment and the facility that we provide. That, for us, means cooking, cleaning, scrubbing toilets, providing clean laundry, and very practical, down-to-earth things. But the result is that we have friends and fellow believers come and be refreshed and go back out into the front line, renewed with vision. You know, we can give story upon story of people who have come, sometimes hanging on to their work with their fingernails, only to go back refreshed with a renewed vision, just because of the environment that the castle provides. Now, that will be selfish if we kept that to ourselves. It'll also burn us out. So we encourage people to come alongside and help us. In the summer, for instance, we have 20 to 30 young people who voluntarily give up their summer to come and work. They get to work alongside us. They get to scrub toilets with Allison. They get to fix chainsaws with me. They get to do cooking and cleaning. But we take the opportunity to do some discipling there and to draw from them a servant heart. You see, Jesus taught his disciples to serve. And we put a lot of focus today on leadership. And, you know, you go into the bookshops and you'll find, you know, 7 ways to be an effective leader. Go into your bookshop and have a look, see if there's a 7 ways to be an effective servant. 7 ways to suffer. 7 ways to submit. They're not the books you buy, are they? But it's really what the Lord would draw from you, because that's laying down your life for the sake of somebody else. So as I look at these verses, it's, am I sowing in the right way so that we can reap the right way? Or have I got weary of it? Am I getting tired of it? Rather than getting tired, I want to take every opportunity to do good to men, but especially those of the household of faith. So that's sort of my verse. I'm just going to give this to Allison, because you know what it's like, the power behind the throne.
I didn't know he had a throne.
I live in a castle.
Yeah. I actually want to take things in perhaps a different direction to what Robin's expecting, because the Lord has been speaking something to my heart in the past couple of days. A lot of people, when they think of missions, they think of the exhortation to go. And the Lord sends people, and it's wonderful to respond to his prompting. When we were at the castle visiting friends who will be sharing with you, then I was reading a devotional and I felt like the Lord was stirring us up to move to the castle, but I was so uncertain and so unsure. So I was praying and asking the Lord. And at the time I was reading a particular version of the Bible and I came across this verse from Exodus where the Lord says to Moses, why don't you stop crying out to me and just move? And the word that's been on my heart these past couple of days isn't go, it's move. And the reason I want to share that is that wherever you are in life, wherever you live, whatever you feel the Lord has called you to, whatever ministry, the Lord is asking you to move. And what I mean by that is, please be praying that you would be moved by the Holy Spirit and not be static or stagnant in your walk with him. Because that is far more important than if you move where you are in the United States or you move country, is to let him move you. And when he moves you, then you will be moving in ministry with him. Don't ever just fill a seat in this church. The Lord has things for you to move into. Thank you.
You guys, I want that in writing too. That was great. You know what I love about all these people, and Matt here, and Alan, by the way. I don't know if Alan's in. He's usually, there he is right there. I met Alan and Billy when they were missionaries. And that was one of the first things that appealed to me about them when we began to talk about them coming on staff here, is that they had a heart for the world, if you know what I mean. And they had a heart to touch the world. So even though the next person you're going to meet doesn't speak with a funny accent, I mean with an English accent, he sounds like an American because by birth he is. Come on up, Jake. This is Jake Wilmoth. He was not far from here, but all of these guys are kingdom-minded people with a heart for the world the same way that Jesus has a heart for the world. Jake is serving at Calvary Chapel Bible College in Rotorua, New Zealand. And he and his wife, Tekla, who is from Romania, who I met when she was, I guess, a teenager.
Yeah,
a young teenager. Mm-hmm. They have a delightful family started there in New Zealand, and he's going to share his heart with you too.
Thank you. Yes, my name is Jake, and my lovely wife Tekla and I serve in Rotorua, New Zealand. I am one of the teaching pastors at the Bible College there, along with Mark and Gwen. And my wife does all the cooking, so that's one reason why I am the way I am. And she is a very wonderful cook, and she's brought a lot of our home cooking from Southern California to New Zealand, and it's been wonderful. We've been there for about 3 years now. We have a 2-year-old daughter, Jade. She is somewhat of the mascot of the Bible College. She runs around, and everybody loves her, and we were blessed. One of the students took her from the missions conference and just walked around for a couple of hours, and it was amazing. We moved to New Zealand about 3 years ago because Mark and Gwen, and it is all Mark's fault, regardless of what he has to say. They invited us to come down with them, and we met in Hungary at the Bible College there, and that's where I met my wife there. So, and we had this real stirring in our marriage early along of calling. And being missionaries and being sent out and going, much along with what Allison was saying, just being moved where we are at. And that's one of the verses I want to read to you guys today, of just being moved in the gifts that we have. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, Paul says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called." And I love that because it means that we all have a calling. But if you read further on in that verse or in that chapter, on down to verse 11, Paul describes some of the titles of offices he has. But he gets on into verse 12 and he gives three things in why we have or what the purpose of our calling is. And I love that because many of us have different callings. Many of us have different roles or offices. You know, I'm a teacher at the Bible College, but I also oversee vehicles, transportation, outreaches. I also oversee setup and teardown. I oversee a lot of different things. You know, some of us, I come from a construction background. I used to be a builder and built houses and stuff. And so it's very foreign. But what I love is that regardless of our title, regardless of our office, there's three things here that Paul says in verse 12, chapter 4 of Ephesians. He says, it's for the equipping of the saints. It's for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. And I love that there, that word for equipping. It's setting of broken bones. It's a surgical term, you know, and if you've ever broken any bones, you know, sometimes they have to be rebroken and reset. But I love that because regardless of our title, regardless of our position, we should be in the ministry, in the service of resetting broken bones. And I love what Allison was saying is that it doesn't matter where we are at. It doesn't matter if we're called to New Zealand. Once again, you know, just like Robin said, I'm not going to show you the beautiful pictures of Hobbitville or Mount Doom or any of those other things that are down in New Zealand. But the thing is wherever we're at, are we in that office? Are we in that position of resetting broken bones? But he doesn't stop there. Paul doesn't stop with the resetting of broken bones. He says we should be in the position of resetting broken bones so that we can do the work of the ministry. so that those that are coming alongside of us, that we're fixing their bones, we're mending their brokenness, if you will, so that they can get back into the work of the ministry, so that the end result is edifying the body of Christ. And that edifying word, that word for edify, I love, it means to lift up, to build up. It's a construction word. It means to go from the ground up to a higher place, to edify the body of Christ. And wherever we're at, whether we're in the back scrubbing toilets or making beds or serving people food or standing up behind the pulpit, are we in the ministry of edifying, working, and equipping? And that's been something that has been the kind of a life verse for me, because I've been in the place when me and my wife first got married, we moved to California. We lived here for about 4 years, probably the hardest time of my life. But it took a time of understanding that it doesn't matter where I was. It didn't matter if I was sent out or was here in Southern California, that was the purpose that God had for me, to edify and to equip. But I love it because in if you turn with me to Colossians, and I'll end here, Paul says something. These verses have come dear to my heart in the recent months and years. Paul says in verse 24, he says, "I now rejoice in my sufferings." And I would like to just take that verse out of the Bible and never have it in there, but we can't do that, can we? It's in there for a purpose. Because Paul goes on to say later on in verse 28, he says, "Him we preach," speaking of Christ, he says, "Him we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom." That equipping and that edifying is so that we may teach them and we may warn them. We may teach them and warn them in all wisdom, that we may present them perfect. That word perfect doesn't mean that everybody walks around with a halo on their head. It means that they're mature. It means that we are mature in Christ. But I love it that Paul doesn't stop there. He says that every man may be presented perfect in Christ Jesus to this end, or meaning to this effect. "To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily." Sorry, I sort of jumped around. "To this end, I also labor, striving." Word there for striving is to sweat, to struggle. That Paul said in verse 24, "I rejoice in my sufferings to the end that I may be sweating for the purpose that I may be presenting every man perfect." And it doesn't matter where we're at. It doesn't matter what we're doing or what our calling or what our title is. But that's what we are here for. And if you notice back in Ephesians, where you look at those gifts and those callings, what's interesting is we all have a calling. We all have a gift. We're all given the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we all have a gift. But you know who those gifts are for? They're not for us. They're for us to give out to others. They're for us to equip, to work, and to edify. And that has been mine and my wife's constant reminder, that the things that the Lord has given us is not for us. It's for us to give out to others, whether it be here in Southern California or whether it be down in beautiful New Zealand. So thank you, guys, and we appreciate your prayers.
We're going to gather around these guys in a couple of minutes and pray for all of them, so get ready for that. Robin and Allison, who were the friends that you followed to Austria? Was it? I thought it might have been. Mark and Gwen, come on up here. This is Mark and Gwen Walsh. Walsh. Everybody say Walsh. Pleasingly close to Welsh. It just sounds so much like Welsh. I love that. I love these guys. I think, did we first meet in England or did we meet in Austria? Here you go. Was it in Austria? And these guys have served all over the world. Now they are, Mark is leading the Bible college down in Rotorua, New Zealand, where Jake is serving and doing an amazing job of it. It's so good to have you guys here. Go ahead. I'm going to be down here with this.
Yeah, Bill's got this. Show everybody this. It's really, really cool. He's so proud of this.
Isn't that cool?
What he doesn't realize is that for people who are colorblind, they can't see red.
You're not colorblind. One of you is not colorblind.
You don't know that.
Well, nobody, don't anybody come to church with one of these, by the way, and sit in the front row. Used 20 of your seconds, but go ahead.
It's a joy to be with you. The point that Bill's trying to make is it's my fault, really. We're the friends that were ultimately... I went to school with Alison, and so Robin and Ali have been our friends for many, many years, and they actually came out to the castle, and then they came back, and they stayed, and ultimately we've been involved in sort of with Jake and Tekla in Hungary, and then they've come and joined us. So we've been very, very blessed to have some great friends who also have the same heart and the same calling. Gwyn and I are actually from England, which is probably obvious at this point in time. But we left England in 1998 and went to Austria, the castle, and we were there for about four and a half years. And then we were actually involved with Robin in this crazy project of moving the Bible school in Austria 500 kilometers across an Eastern European border to central southern Hungary. And so we were in central southern Hungary for about 7 years. Something like actually living there. We were involved with the ministry for about 10 years, but 7 years. And then in 2009, we moved to the end of the earth. They call it Middle Earth in The Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, and it's nowhere near the middle. It's basically about 11,000 miles from here. And we could show you a map, but we don't have one. And the problem is, a lot of maps don't have New Zealand on them. Because it's so far under, it's even further past Australia. In fact, right now, it's actually tomorrow. That messes with your head. It's tomorrow. So it's 21 hours time difference in reality. We've been there about coming on 5 years at this point in time. Our heart is disciple making. It's very, very simple. That we desire to see people become total followers of Jesus Christ. And the vision of the Bible College, the Bible Institute, is Psalm 2, verse 8. And Psalm 2, verse says this, "Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, the ends of the earth for your possession." It's a messianic psalm in which the Father speaks to the Son and says, "Ask of me, I want to give you an inheritance." And so we, our heart, along with you guys, is to see Messiah have an inheritance in lives. And for us, the ends of the earth. And we're in the Bible. It's the ends of the earth. I'll give you the ends of the earth for your inheritance. And so really, that's our heart. We're based in New Zealand, but our heart is to serve in Australia and in the Pacific Rim, in the islands. We take outreaches to Australia every semester. And really, that's our heart, to see Messiah have an inheritance. That's what we do. So we take students of all sorts of ages, and they come down. They spend 15 weeks with us. We're one of Calvary Chapel's 9 residential Bible colleges worldwide, in conjunction with Marietta and the other campuses. And we just want to see what God will do in their lives and expose them to churches and being involved in ministry at the ends of the earth. So that's what we do. I want to share with you just a couple of verses and then maybe have Gwyn just share a little bit with you. And I want to share a couple of verses from the book of Haggai. Right, it's one of those minor prophets. It's one of those Bible books in the Bible that always seems to move around because you can never find it when you want it. It's somewhere near the middle, but right at the end of the Old Testament. But they never seem to stay in the same place. You know, the book of Haggai. And I want to read you just a couple of verses and share a thought with you, just really on the back of what's been shared already. And I want to read to you from Haggai chapter 1, verse 2, and it says this, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, the people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you to dwell in your sealed houses, and the house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, consider your ways." Haggai is an interesting book because in that time in Israel's history, what was unique was there was no real idolatry or real big sin. But what happened is life had just worn them down. They've been trying to rebuild the temple since they came back from Babylon. 15 years, temple wasn't built. And life had just worn them down. And it had worn them down. They just thought, maybe God doesn't want to do this. And they just got involved in other things. Life wears us down often. We all face challenges. There's always so many reasons why to stop us getting involved in the things of the Lord. Often good reasons. But the encouragement was, consider your ways. It's still time to be about God's work in whatever we're doing. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says this. It says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because you know it's not in vain. And we all face those challenges. We're all missionaries in our culture and our environment, whether we speak the same language, we're in the same country that we were born in or not. And ultimately, we need to be those people as we go into 2014, being steadfast, immovable, abounding in the ways of the Lord, because it's not in vain. And if you don't do it, and we don't do it, who will? And that's the challenge of mission, isn't it? I'm going to let Gwynnie share just for... I don't know what... I can't see what that says.
No, I can't see it either. So, yeah, I was just...
My help, mate.
Okay. I just... I think... Just to follow on, I think Matt really, when he talked about being willing, just really struck me tonight, that that's something that the Lord has really had to teach me. I remember a time once in Hungary when Mark had been going down to Australia maybe every year for about 10 years, and he kept saying to me, maybe this is the time. And I remember thinking, I love this place, I love these people, I love this ministry, my kids are happy, I don't want to go anywhere, you know, and I was settled there in that sense, though always aware not to get comfortable because, you know, that's a dangerous thing to do. And I remember I walked around the premises there and I said, God, make me willing to be willing, because I wasn't willing to leave. And New Zealand may be a beautiful place, but I love it where I am. And I remember he rang in the coffee shop that night and he, from Australia, and he said, it's not the time. And I was jumping around for joy going, yes, 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 I'm still here. And then I remember, though, 2 years later, pretty much, I was ready. And even if we hadn't had visas for New Zealand, it was time to go. And you just know, I'm sure some of you know that feeling, that stirring in your heart. And I think just my encouragement is that, you know, and as Matt said, there's those dangerous prayers. And I remember praying back in 97. I was in Scotland, 8 o'clock in the morning, sitting in this field in the mist. Uh-oh, time's gone. And I sat there and I said, God, what do you want me to do? Where do you want us to go? I'll go anywhere, whenever, whatever, whoever. You know, I was ready. And he said, and it was really misty, and I remember I sat there and the mist sort of rolled away. It kind of goes backwards when you're in Scotland. And eventually I sort of saw the mountains and everything. And I just heard God say very clearly to me, just take the next step. Even if it's misty, even if it's dark, even if you don't know how or what, just take it and he'll lead you to the next. So I just want to encourage you that, you know, if he's speaking to you, be willing. Ask him to help you to be willing. And be open for whatever. Just as Matt shared, you know, take the next step and you'll get, and you'll be where he wants you to do. I think there's a verse just very quickly in, I can't remember, I think it's Psalm 85, the very last sentence that says, it's in his footsteps is our pathway. And as we walk, we will find ourselves in that way. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you guys so much. I'm going to ask all the guys who came and spoke if they'd come and stand down here at the foot of the stage. And when they get down there, we're going to have you down here on the bottom. And we're going to have you guys come and gather around them in just a moment. If you could put up that that PowerPoint that I gave you back at the sound deck, that would be great. Here's in absolutely rapid-fire fashion, why we do what we do, what the gospel is. And we've been over this several times here, but I just want to remind you. Did you guys enjoy this tonight?
Yeah.
I love this. I could Oh, I could listen to you guys a lot longer, too. Do you have it? Was it loaded? Was it not loaded? It is loaded. It's coming. Boy, what you guys shared tonight in just about every segment, it sort of plays into what I'm going to be talking about tomorrow night at the conference. All the way from what you said about Paul's call to Spain. And it struck me here tonight that Paul had this passion to go to Spain. You know where he died? In a sense, he died on the way to Spain. He died on the road to Spain. Not literally, but God doesn't lead any of us down a cul-de-sac. We were on the way home, right? And he gives us assignments on the way there, and Paul believed with all his heart he was going to Spain. And I think it was strategic that he had a place that apparently he never got to. I bet somebody else took that baton and went on further. But this is where we've been tonight. But just look up here really quick. There is one task that Jesus left the church. Certainly we're called to worship him. Certainly we're called to love one another. But as a family, this is what we do. It's one task. Read this with me underneath each of the verses, okay? Go everywhere, tell everyone. Tell them their sins can be forgiven. Make disciples of all the nations. That's out of all those who respond to the gospel. And then you go, and Jesus said, as the Father sent me. So we go as the Father sent Jesus, and we go in the power of the Holy Spirit to be filled with the Spirit. That's the Great Commission as it spreads across all the Gospels and into the book of Acts. That's what these guys are doing, and here's what I love. That's what you are doing here. So many of you realize you live on a mission field here, and you're doing that. You're telling people, letting them know their sins can be forgiven, drawing them into fellowship, helping them to grow up in the ways of the Lord. You're going out just as the Father sent Jesus, one soul after another, filled with the Holy Spirit. But this, here's how we get it done. Somebody must go. These are the guys that are going far away, having to leave. You guys have left how many times from one place to another? I think at least four or five different locations I've... So some people must go, some people must support. In other words, they can't go without a lifeline. They have to buy bread, they have to support themselves when they're there. So some people go, some people support, some must serve back here. And those are the people in our fellowship that help with the ministry teams. The Johnstons have a team here, and Matt and Ryan, when they shove off to wherever they may end up long term, they'll have a team here too. And we need people to serve on all those teams to keep people aware of what they're doing, keep their name in front of people, all kinds of things. And all must pray. Everybody must pray. So that's what we're going to do tonight. That's how we're going to close. I want you guys to stand up. Go ahead, stand up. And the worship team, if you're back there or out here, come on back. And we're going to sing one more time. But let's gather, spread out a little bit more so we can get a whole pack of people around each one of you. And come up and get your hands on these guys. We're going to lay hands on them and pray for power, for the next step, for Matt. Matt, do you have everything together in terms of how's the financial support? Do you have what you need for where you're going this journey?
I don't know.
Okay. If anybody would like to help him make sure that he gets to Africa and back, because his wife's not going, so he needs to come back from Africa too. If you'd like to contribute to that. And any of these, I think most of these guys brought some literature. It'll be out on the big square table as you leave. That'd be great. We need more people. Come on forward. Surround these guys, and we'll pray, and then we'll let you go. Okay? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for these servants of yours that have fed us tonight and helped us to lift up our eyes and look at the fields that are white and ready for harvest. This has been as instructive as a verse-by-verse Bible study through the book of Romans might have been tonight. Lord, you have reminded us why we are here, because there are people out there in the many coordinates of this world who don't know you yet. And so, Father, I pray that your hand would be upon these that serve in New Zealand and in Ireland, Father God, and Matt on his way to Africa. Lord, I pray that you'd give him everything he needs to get there. I pray for the ministry in Ireland, Father. I pray that even though there's so much religion and just ceremony, Father, that you would press past all of that, Lord, and you would do a great work there, Father. I pray that you just pour out your Spirit upon that work in Austria as well, and encourage these servants as they serve your servants over and over and over again, Lord. Keep them from getting weary. And Father, would you please remind us of these missions and these these ministries that are taking place in these different corners of the world. Father, thank you for stirring us tonight. Thank you for reminding us, Lord, of the call to lay down our life and to be poured out, to be a drink offering, poured out to you. Lord, what a waste of our lives to live for ourselves. What an absolute waste. Help us, Father, to surrender everything that's left of our life to you. Now, Father, refresh and pour out your Spirit on these. And refresh them as they're at the conference, too. May the next day and a half just be what they needed to hear, Father. And I even pray that you would sift through my words tomorrow night, and I wouldn't say anything that you don't want me to say there, Father. That I wouldn't suppose that I have something unless you drop it into my heart. And so, God, I just pray that you'd refine that message for tomorrow evening and keep me stirred up as well, Lord. We are not done, Father God, and I pray that you would lead us forward in Jesus' strong name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's stay right where you're standing. Let's sing this, and then we'll go.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.